Hello, I'm Justin from TED Learning, and welcome to this podcast on having successful hybrid meetings. I'm delighted to be joined by John Stokes, who's an expert in delivering hybrid training and particularly focused on hybrid meetings. Since the pandemic, we've seen a shift to a more hybrid working model with organisations adapting to life without all the team in the office. John has trained employees and managers from across the globe and in various sectors and industries to ensure hybrid working is a success. So, John, welcome to today's podcast. So we're talking about hybrid working and specifically hybrid meetings. But what do we mean when we say hybrid? What does that actually look and feel like?
Exactly. What is it? Well, you don't need me, Justin, to talk you through again the story of the last few years. As the pandemic broke loose, of course, everybody discovered these amazing new aptitudes in themselves and an ability to work in a variety of different ways using a variety of different platforms. So we all pivoted wildly in the wind. We all came out with great new skills and great new ways of working. Hybrid now is the legacy of all of that. And of course, hybrid sits as an arrangement between an employee and its workforce, an employer and its workforce, whereby those workers can split their time between working in the office and working in a home environment or other environment, usually by their choice to a schedule to suit them, I should say. And of course, there's loads of benefits to that. Increased flexibility and autonomy, reduced commuting time and costs. And for the businesses, of course, access to a wider talent pool, potentially, that might not have been able to access in previous times.
And some companies have adapted really well to this, haven't they? So some of the organisations that I know that you've worked with who've been embracing hybrid working, and some companies, as well publicised, have perhaps been less embracing of this way of working, wanting more people back into the office. Those companies that you've worked with that have, what sort of challenges have they faced in moving to this model, and why have they engaged working with people like yourself to help them through it?
Yeah, I mean, several challenges. And the challenges are faced, of course, by companies and employees in different ways. For employees, that maintaining the work-life balance, how do they go about doing that? It can work for some people in a lot of ways, but other people have different kinds of preferences. So they've got work to do. Some people feel disconnected from the company, disconnected from the company culture. And of course, for many, adapting to some of these new technologies and communication channels are not necessarily as straightforward as they could be. Then for the companies, of course, a whole other set of challenges as well. Managing employee productivity, that can be a challenge because we're not actually sure how we often measuring people and monitoring people and what kind of matrices we're using and our ability to access those. Ensuring those effective lines of communication and crucially maintaining a sense of cohesion within teams, morale, that whole one teamness in a disparate hybrid environment, that can very easily just slip away.
So you mentioned that some people who've adapted to hybrid working have struggled with that work-life balance. What sort of challenges have people shared with you and what have they found difficult?
Well, of course, actually, it works incredibly well for some people, but we're all made up of different stuff, aren't we? And what I hear from employees is that for others, That arrangement leaves them feeling on the outside of things. There's a bit of fear of missing out sometimes of their colleagues and activities that are taking place in the office work environment. And for other people as well, of course, their home environment doesn't necessarily offer a conducive environment to working successfully. So it really does depend on the individual, and it depends on individual's life and work circumstances to what extent it works for them. I guess the challenge then for businesses is to know your team sufficiently to understand how to make the most of people's preferences.
Yeah, and I guess to support individuals, because that's a very valid point that, you know, I'm lucky that when I had to move to remote working, hybrid working, that I have a space in my house that's an office and I can go and do my day in there, close the door, walk away. I struggle to let go of technology with the emails pinging through late at night, but I'm able to do that. If for you, you might be in a house share or an environment that doesn't have that, I know that I've had meetings with clients who've been sort of perched in the kitchen having a meeting. I guess that's one of the things that employers need to be mindful of, isn't it? That if they've moved to that hybrid model, making sure that people have got a space that feels comfortable to work in and that they're able to switch off and move away from that come the evening so that there is that work-life balance.
And that people are able to access a hybrid work arrangement that suits them best and that they're really listened to in that regard. Yeah, absolutely.
So we touched on hybrid working. Specifically, the purpose of today's podcast is to talk about hybrid meetings, which I know is something that you've been working with lots of companies all across the globe to help them with moving to that. What's the difference then between having a hybrid meeting and perhaps a standard meeting where everybody would be in the room together?
It's the mix, isn't it, of virtual and in-present participants, which just creates that additional communication and logistical challenge compared to what we might consider a traditional meeting. But again, of course, in that respect, hybrid meetings are different from virtual meetings and remote meetings as well. When in a situation like this, Justin, when you and I are talking on a digital, on a video platform, we're in the same boat. But crucially, the difference is if people feel that actually they're not accessing a meeting with the same quality of experience as each other, then that can be really unsatisfactory. So those sort of challenges are around really ensuring that everybody has equal access to the information and can participate fully in the discussion. And just going back to the discussion that we had before about accessing the different needs of the individuals within the team and being really clear on how we can allow others to contribute. And of course, the technology for the meeting, that's something we've all had to get used to. As I said, when we started using platforms habitually as a way of running meetings, but the technology throws up all kinds of interesting challenges, and it's not necessarily when the technology breaks down that it's not working for us. I was recently running a hybrid meeting as part of our training offer, and we had everybody there in person attending the meeting, except for one person who was attending remotely. Everything worked fantastically, but for that one person, because they were on a huge screen at one end of the room, and they felt, whether they were or not, they felt as though they were very loud in the room compared to other people's voices. That was an inhibitor, actually, to them being able to participate fully. So we had to be really sensitive to that and really think about how we brought them in and how we made that individual feel comfortable, because the technology had created a barrier, even though it was working perfectly.
So in any meeting, there should ideally be a chair of that meeting. What advice would you give somebody who's chairing a hybrid meeting to make it successful?
Clarity, I think, is really important. Preparation and what we would call mindful or intentional preparation. Being really clear about the meeting, being really clear about what the agenda and the goals are, so that participants really understand what the purpose is and what's expected of them, I guess. I would say using the technology to facilitate the collaboration in the meeting. There's all kinds of things about these kinds of platforms that offer a new ability to enhance communication in different ways. So actually get involved with using virtual whiteboards, get involved with using breakout rooms, all those different facilities that the platform provides us. It can be really helpful to assign roles to participants as well. So that actually the manager is not feeling that they're having to be the one providing all of the bells and whistles and pulling all the different levers, making the running of the meeting more of a collegiate activity, really encouraging the participation of all participants, being really aware and noticing if somebody's sitting back or not participating in some way, and using all the skills at your disposal to bring that out of them. And then I think crucially, follow up at the end of the meeting. If everyone has been accessing the meeting in a different way, some sort of really uniform approach to reaching out and clarifying what the key outcomes of the meeting have been, so that people actually have a shared means of communication.
And is there a responsibility on those attending a hybrid meeting to make it successful? So, you know, you've talked very eloquently there about the role of the chair, the manager that's leading that meeting to make sure that everybody has a voice. What about those attending to make sure that they create the circumstances for success?
Yeah, absolutely. We've all got a part to play, haven't we? And a skilled manager, again, is going to be using all of their approaches and their strategies to bring that out of the employees attending. But as a staff member attending, I'd be I'd be wanting to take an active role, really looking to participate in the conversation, irrespective of location, means of access. And I guess it's on all of us to really think about, okay, are we sharing our ideas and our thoughts openly in the meeting, or are we sitting back and just notice, are we being passengers in this meeting and just allowing others to contribute? So I just think that's really important, just taking some of that personal accountability and responsibility to contribute to the success of the meeting. The other part of it, I guess, is being aware and mindful of those sort of technical issues that could cause an inhibitor to communication. And actually, if something does go wrong, then maybe resolving them is also something that can be approached in a collaborative manner.
Now, one of the challenges that I've faced in delivering a more blended hybrid training experience, and I know that you've done a lot of that yourself, is people suffering Teams and Zoom fatigue. So people joining, cameras off, microphone muted. And obviously the difficulty with that is that if you're in the room with those people, they wouldn't sit with their back to you. They'd be looking at you. So you'd see and you'd get a sense of whether they're engaged and participating. But in a hybrid meeting, if you've got people joining with cameras off, how would you suggest that people manage that? Do we leave it? Do we mention it? What do we do?
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because as you say, Justin, if you were sat in a meeting face to face with somebody, they wouldn't turn your back on you and deny you the ability to pick up all of that valuable data from their nonverbal communication. On the other hand, what I've heard people say to me is, well, maybe the meeting that I'm having doesn't replicate a face-to-face meeting. Maybe we're having this kind of meeting on a platform, video platform, whereas previously it might have been a phone call, or it might have been a group phone call, conference phone call. So what are we replicating here? So I guess part of the thought around this is for managers to be mindful about what the intention behind the meeting is. What is this platform? What is it replicating? And is it the right platform to have that meeting in the first place? Having said all that, yes, absolutely. If people are sitting back and just getting into the habit of turning off cameras, the impact of that is, I guess, participants are really missing out on the opportunity to fully engage with each other and to really fully connect with the meeting itself. Seeing other participants' faces creates that sense of connection and involvement and really improves engagement levels. And that ultimately will lead to a more successful meeting. So what do we do? For me, it comes down to expectations, setting clear expectations, contracting, set the ground rules early on in general, not in that meeting, but as a way of working for your organization or for your team. So you're not then in that situation of having to nag somebody midway through a meeting. If I turned up to this call right now, Justin, and I decided to switch my camera off, you wouldn't want to be in a situation, would you, where you were having to sort of keep on saying to me, John, just flip your camera back on, will you? Come on, I'm just trying to have a conversation with you. If we've had that clear agreement up front, then I think everybody knows where they stand. Last thing I would say as well is it is genuinely important to be mindful of individual circumstances and respect privacy concerns when they're genuine concerns. So it is okay to have some flexibility with camera usage.
But as you said, it's about giving that clarity up front, isn't it? Letting people know what's expected of them when they're joining. And I think you make a really valid point there, which is that some of these virtual meetings have replaced conference calls and telephone calls, where of course you wouldn't have been able to see and people were doing other things whilst listening. It's that old thing of, you know, sometimes people feel they're not being listened to if someone's not looking at them, but you can listen to somebody without looking at them. You can participate in a meeting without having your camera on. But if boundaries have been set at the start, people know that that's expected of them, then it's on the responsibility of the manager or the chair of the meeting to establish that when people join. So just to summarise then, to bring our podcast on hybrid working and hybrid meetings to a close, what would you say are the kind of three key things that a business should do to ensure that a hybrid meeting is successful?
I think companies and employees need to prioritise clear communication and collaboration. I think a few of the things I've talked about today have been around really, really taking that collegiate approach to managing the hybrid work environment, and on that, and the willingness to adapt as well, and just be open and try new things. Number two, what we've just talked about, setting clear expectations and guidelines. A lot of the challenge of hybrid working, hybrid meetings, and that environment really comes down to non-parity of experience between different participants. You don't want to be looking at somebody in a meeting thinking, well, so-and-so's got their camera off. I don't see why I shouldn't have my camera off as well. So if you've had that clear setting of expectations, everybody knows where they stand. No one's resentful of each other. No one's allowing standards to slip because people are following the wrong examples. So that's really important. Fostering a strong sort of company culture that values that teamwork and inclusivity. And I think a third point for me would probably maintaining regular check-ins, actually touching base with people and saying, you know, how is this going for you? Is this working? Is it not working? What improvements could be made? And what do you need to let us know about that we don't know about already? Gives us an opportunity to make sure we're all on the same page and we're all able to address concerns or issues as they arise.
And just to go back to an earlier point you made as we come to a close today, those companies that haven't embraced hybrid working, what would you say to them?
I guess, look, you're missing out on the huge potential benefits of this way of working. And I guess the reality is, look, this is the future, whether we want to or not. We can be dragged screaming into the future, raging against the machine, or we can say, look, okay, let's have a look at how this can really benefit our productivity, our employees' well-being, and really seize that opportunity at the same time that others are. We don't want to be left behind by the tide.
John, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to talk to you today on our podcast, talking about hybrid working and specifically, how do we make hybrid meetings a success? We appreciate your time and thank you for sharing some of the examples and some of the best practice that you've been delivering to companies across the world. So, John, thank you very much.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you very much indeed, Justin.
For more of our podcasts, visit our website at podcast.tedlearning.co.uk, or you can find us on most podcast platforms.